I want to read tonight, book of 1 Kings, chapter number 8. We're going to do a lot of reading today, and I will be mindful of the time. We want the Lord to work here. 1 Kings, chapter number 8, begin reading at verse number 26. And this is Solomon speaking when he was dedicating the temple. And so he says, "O now, O God of Israel, let thy word, I pray thee, be verified, which thou spakest unto thy servant David, my father. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and the heavens of heavens cannot contain thee, how much less this house that I have builded. Yet have thou respect unto the prayer of thy servant and unto his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and to the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee today, that thine eyes may be opened toward this house night and day, even toward the place which thou hast said, my name shall be there, that thou mayest hearken unto the prayer which thy servant shall make toward this place." Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1. Beginning at verse number 12. "Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day journey. And when they were come in, they went up into the upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John, Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes, and his Judas, his the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren." Amen. I believe I am in part 6 of this series. I felt preach this here tonight. And so I want to preach in defense of pre-service prayer. Amen. In defense of pre-service prayer. Hallelujah. Let's ask the Lord to help us here today. Heavenly Father, we love you. To bless it, anoint it, and break it, God. Hallelujah. And I pray, God, that you would take this word tonight and that you would bless it unto us today. I pray, God, that you would reach down and that you would touch Brother Worth's tonight, praying that you would touch his body and that you would heal him and raise him up, God. We come against the sickness, Lord, in Jesus' name. Let your healing virtue flow over him and through him tonight. God, I'm praying, Lord, that healing would come completely. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. And God bless you, and you may be seated tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. I am going to continue reading in the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 8, and going to read for an extended period of time here tonight. And as I was studying for this and came across this, I just thought, you know what, this is just too good to pass up, and too good just to highlight. And so I want to point it out to you of the emphasis that Solomon, the wise man, that Solomon put upon prayer, but also knowing, I know that he put the emphasis upon prayer, but one of the reasons that he put it upon prayer is because that he understood the power of prayer. It was not just that he put the emphasis upon it, but you will see through all of this that he had some history to back him up of what God accepted. And so I'm going to start reading where we left off, verse number 30. Solomon said, "Hearken thou unto the supplication." Now you're going to see this over and over again, the word prayer and supplication. He said, "Hearken thou to the supplication of thy servant and of the people of Israel, when they shall pray towards this place. And hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, when thou hearest, forgive. If any man trespass against his neighbor, and an oath be laid upon him to cause him to swear, and the oath come before thine altar in this house, in other words, the place of prayer, then hear thou in heaven and do, and judge thy servants, condemning the wicked to bring his way upon his head, justifying the righteous to give him according to his righteousness. And when thy people Israel be smitten down before the enemy because that they have sinned against thee, and shall turn again to thee and confess thy name and pray and make supplication unto thee in this house, then hear thou in heaven and forgive the sin of thy people Israel and bring them again unto the land that thou gavest unto their fathers. And I'm not going to go back and to break these down or to emphasize certain areas, but please just pay attention and give credence to these about what is happening and that how that it is turned through the power of prayer. In verse number 35, when heaven is shut up and there is no rain because they have sinned against thee, if they pray towards this place and confess thy name and turn from their sins when thou afflictest them, then hear thou in heaven and forgive the sin of thy servants and of the people Israel, that thou teach them the good way wherein they should walk, and give rain upon the land where thou hast given to thy people for an inheritance. And if there be in the land famine, if there be pestilence, blasting, mildew, locusts, or if there be caterpillar, if their enemy besiege them in the land of their cities, whatsoever plague, whatsoever sickness there be, what prayer and supplication soever be made by any man, or by all that men, or by all thy people Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart and spread forth his hands towards this house, then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place and forgive, and give to every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest, for thou, even thou only, knowest the hearts of all the children of men, that they may fear thee all the days that they live in the land which thou gavest unto our fathers. Moreover, concerning a stranger that is not thy people Israel, but come out of a far country for thy name's sake, for they shall hear of thy great name and thy strong hand and of thy stretched out arm. And when he shall come and pray towards this house, hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth to thee for, that all people of the earth may know thy name, to fear thee, as do thy people Israel, that they may know that this house which I have builded is called by thy name. If thy people go out to battle against their enemy, whithersoever thou shalt send them, and shall pray unto the Lord, and toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house that I have built for thy name, then hear thou in heaven their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause. If they have sinned against, if they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whither they were carried away captive, and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart and with all of their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee towards their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee. And give them compassion before them who carry them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people, and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be opened unto the supplication of thy servant, and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth, to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Lord God. Amen. What a powerful setting of Scripture, in that Solomon acknowledges the faults and the weakness of people and their inabilities to stay true at all times. The Bible teaches us that all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. And therefore, we all need God. Somewhere in my notes today, I would write and I would say that one of the first symptoms of pride getting into an individual is one stops praying and becomes self-dependent. When you don't have to pray for God to order your steps, you are full of pride. Amen. Because you are thinking that you can walk without God. When you get to the place that you don't have to pray and ask God to continually wash you, then you are at a place that you feel that your spirit is correct, that you are condoning your actions. And even though you may not necessarily verbally condone your actions, amen, your actions are speaking far louder, amen, in that wise of not praying, amen, than your voice is doing. Amen. But it behooves us to make sure that we have a faithful prayer life. And so Solomon is acknowledging this. He is not condoning their actions. He's not condoning their sin. For he oftentimes says that when they repent and when they pray and when they lift up their voice in supplication unto you, God, then I pray that you would hear their voice and that you would forgive them and the situation that their actions has caused them to be in. I am asking you to somehow or another to turn that. If they are in bondage, then give them favor with those that they are in bondage with, that they would be treated well. Ultimately, that they would be taken out of bondage. If their sins has caused there to be no rain upon the land and there to be a famine within the land, if their sins have caused the cankerworm and the locust to come and to devour all that is there, if their sins have caused them, you to turn your ear from them, then I pray that when they begin to pray, that you would hear their voice and that you would forgive them because of their prayer and their supplication. And we see that oftentimes this is the very case of what God did in those days. And he would raise up a man of God. Some of them we would call minor prophets. Others we would call major prophets. But Isaiah would come to Hezekiah and would tell Hezekiah, amen, to set his house in order because of the things that he had done, and tell him that his days were numbered. And the Bible teaches us that Hezekiah went into his room and he prayed and repented unto God. And God spoke to the man of God that Isaiah would go back to him and tell him that God had given him 15 more years. Amen. There were other prophets that would go to the children of Israel in the lands of bondage and would tell them that if they would lift their voice and turn back from their wicked ways and begin to pray, that God would hear them. We would see that even in the land of Egypt, after 400 years of living in bondage and in slavery, that the people lifted up their voice unto God and began to pray for him to deliver them. And God sent them a deliverer. We would know that there was a time that Jonah was spoken to by God to go to Nineveh and to raise his voice and to speak against that city. And his will was to go away and down into Joppa. And we know that he was thrown overboard and that he was swallowed up by the great whale. Amen. But in Jonah chapter number 2, we would see that Jonah makes an altar in the belly of the whale, and he begins to pray unto God, and God hears his voice. Amen. Prayer, amen, is the universal language of heaven. Prayer has many different forms and attributes, many different varieties and ways that it comes across. Sometimes prayer can be, amen, just the normal voice, but yet it is understood in heaven. Sometimes it is groanings, amen, which cannot be uttered, but nevertheless it is understood in the heavens. Amen. Sometimes it may be in supplication and in thanksgiving, while at other times it may take on the form of intercession. But in all of this, the Bible teaches us faithfully that God hears the prayers of his people. Not only the prayers of his people, but the Bible even teaches us in the book of Proverbs, amen, that God even hears the prayers of the unrighteous. Amen. We would know that Hannah would go unto the Lord and begin to pray diligently with tears, with sobbings and groanings, with words that Eli could not understand, and would accuse her of being drunk in the temple. Amen. But God understood the prayer, and we would see that her prayer would bring forth Samuel. Amen. The Bible teaches us that Elijah prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and God heard his prayer, and for 3 years, 3.5 years, it did not rain. Elijah's prayer brought down fire upon a wet sacrifice, and ultimately it would be Elijah's prayer again that would turn the drought of the land off and turn on the faucets of heaven and cause the skies to open up and to rain upon that barren and drought stricken land. Elisha's prayer would bring back life into the Shunammite's dead son. Amen. Ruth's prayer and her fastings enabled her to go before the king without being killed. Daniel's prayer, amen, some would say sent him to the lion's den, but ultimately Daniel's prayer kept him out of the mouth of the lions. And while we're talking about Daniel's prayer, let me just interject this into there. Amen, that the devil, the accuser of the brethren, the one that roams to and fro seeking whom he may devour, He was very cognizant of Daniel's prayer life. He knew how to accuse Daniel, amen, and to be victorious in that. Amen. He knew that Daniel was praying 3 times a day. And so when he, as a spirit, began to move upon those that would submit the decree that none should ask anything save of the king, amen, the devil knew that he had the upper hand. And he knew that Daniel was guilty and that Daniel was continue to do that. And the Bible says that when Daniel knew that the decree had been signed, that he went into his bedchambers, opened up his window as he had done aforetime, and he prayed again. I just have a question here tonight, amen, and that is simply this. Could the devil, amen, successfully critique you? Could the devil successfully charge you, amen, and the devil find you guilty of having a faithful prayer life? Amen. If the devil
devil opened it up and charged you with a prayer life, would he be victorious in his attempts, in his manners? Amen. He knows who has the prayer life and who doesn't have the prayer life. Amen. But ultimately, it is the prayer life that got Daniel out of the lion's den. We would see that Jesus' prayer in the garden kept the flesh from getting in the way of the divine will of God. Prayer is extremely important. Prayer is vital. Prayer is not an elective. Amen. That the church can choose whether to do it or to not do it. Prayer is a spiritual thing. Amen. It is a work of the Spirit. The world does not understand a prayer life. As a matter of fact, when the world walks into our services, amen, 30 minutes early, and they hear a church that is praying, they're not going to understand it. I don't care if they've been going to their church for 20 years, they're not going to understand any type of prayer that we would have going on in the sanctuary. They're not going to understand the prayer that was happening here tonight. And I just felt the hand of God confirming from the very beginning, as God sanctioned, ordained, and anointed our pre-service prayer, there was a special touch. There was a special spirit. There was a special presence, amen, that was here tonight. Amen. It may not always be so easy to get and to feel what we felt here tonight. Amen. But I believe that God was, I'll say it carefully, baiting us. I believe that God was wanting to show us, amen, how important prayer really is. I believe God was wanting to put the mark of approval, amen, the stamp of his approval, amen, upon this service. Amen. I believe that God was wanting, amen, to sanction, amen, pre-service prayer. That's so foreign to too many churches in this day and age. And the sad thing about it is that it's too foreign in too many Pentecostal apostolic churches in this day and age. Too many people are wanting to make the sinners feel comfortable when they come in to the church of the living God. Amen. We're not here to make the sinners feel comfortable. We're here to welcome the presence of God. It's not going to be, amen, a motivational speech. Our church is not going to turn into an entertainment center. Our church is not going to turn into, amen, a motivational time. Our church is going to be spiritual, that the power of God can deal with the spiritual needs of the people that are here, the saints of God and the sinners, amen, here. You as a saint of God, you need the touch of God upon you. Amen. We do not know what you are going through. Everything may be hid to everybody but yourself, but there is an all-seeing eye of God that knows the very secrets of man. He knows the heartbeat. He knows the heartbreak of man, and he knows how to get a hold of us. But it can only come through a work of the Spirit. Amen. What we're preaching about here tonight is not going to come out of a book. It's not going to come out of off of an internet website. Amen. Where we can find the latest and the greatest message. I'm thankful for some of those things. But friend, those things can never find their foot in the apostolic church. We've got to rely upon the move of the Spirit. Otherwise, we will charge God foolishly for the problems and the dilemmas amen, that get into the church, and the sin that gets into the church. We've got to have the mind of God. We've got to have the knowledge of God. We've got to have the anointing of God. It is the anointing that breaks the yokes of bondage. We must have God, and He only comes when we pray, when we call out to Him, when we call His name, when we entertain His presence through prayer. It attracts His attention, and He comes unto His own. Let's love Him. I cannot stand orchestrated church. I cannot stand orchestrated music. I believe, amen, in doing our best. I believe in giving God our best. Amen, but I'm not interested in entertainment. I want it to be worship. I am not interested, amen, in orchestrated worship. You've heard me preach it time and time again, and I'll continue to preach it. It's not worship if it's not spontaneous. If I have to tell you to lift your hands, it's not worship. Amen. If I have to tell you to leap for joy, it's not worship. If I have to tell you to get involved in it, it's not worship. Amen. Worship is what you think it is worth. Worship is your... Worship is your appraisal of the kingdom. Worship is your appraisal of God. Amen. If I've got to tell you and say somebody ought to be running these aisles right now, it's not worship. You're just doing it because I said to do it. And that's wrong. That's wrong. That's wrong. Amen. Worship has got to be spontaneous. That's what God is looking for. The Bible said that He is looking for true worshipers, those that would worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen. It's got to be according to the Word of God, but the Spirit has got to be involved in it. If you're just jumping because you know that that makes me happy, it's not worship. If you're just running because you know I'll get excited about it, it's not worship. Amen. If you're just, amen, doing your thing and dancing because everybody else is kind of dancing, everybody else is kind of moving, it's not worship. I'm just going to take this a step further. Amen. It's not prayer. Amen. If you can't even remember the last sentence that you said, it's not prayer. Amen. If you're just going through the motions, I'm talking about a move of the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about getting in the Spirit. I'm talking about making intercession and praying, amen, until we get into that vein. There are times that we feel like a pinball in a machine just kind of bouncing back and forth and wondering where it is. But all of a sudden, you find that niche, you find that groove, and it just zeroes in, and you begin to pray in the Spirit. Sometimes it's in thanksgiving. Sometimes it's in supplication. Sometimes it's in speaking in tongues, but nevertheless, the Spirit knows what we have need of. Pre-service prayer gets your attitude right. Pre-service prayer gets your spirit right. Pre-service prayer gets you into the place that you can take preaching. Amen. That you would receive preaching. Pre-service prayer gives you the time to wash out. Pre-service prayer gives you the time to clean up spiritually. Pre-service prayer gives you the time that you can mentally wash your mind and get in the atmosphere, amen, of having church. Oh, but I've seen too many times that too many people come to pre-service prayer, amen, amen, and they're just walking around and looking at each other. I don't want that. Amen. God doesn't want that. And God knows we don't need that. It's more than just coming 30 minutes before service and just marking time. It's more than just coming in 30 minutes before service and finding a place to sit. Amen. And just waiting for the music to happen. It's more, amen, than coming in 30 minutes before church. Amen. And going through your Bible and going through a checkbook and going through this and checking your phone and doing all these other things. It's about getting in the Spirit. Why? There's spiritual needs, and God knows what we need. God knows who's going to show up and who's not going to show up. But I've just got a firm conviction, amen, that what we do in here supersedes what these four walls encompass. What happens in here goes out and over the threshold, and it goes into the highways, into the byways. Amen. And somebody that's out there that's contemplating God, contemplating church, amen, they're going to find us. The Spirit of God is going to touch them. You say, Pastor, that's preposterous. Amen. It's obvious you don't understand what the Spirit can do. The Spirit has a way of showing up on somebody's doorstep. The Spirit has a way of doing things that even the mind cannot fathom. Answer me this question. Why was it the prayer meeting at Dorcas's house, amen, where the people were praying for the release of Peter, amen, why weren't they down at the jail cell praying? They had a spiritual understanding that what happens is spirit. It cannot be contained by four walls, amen. And there they were praying for the release, amen, of Peter. And an angel goes beyond the four walls. And an angel goes down into the jail cell and opens the door. And Peter walks out of that jail cell and goes to where they're having prayer. Don't diminish the power of prayer. Don't neglect the ability of prayer. Don't lack in your prayer life. We need to pray. We need to pray. We need to pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's your prayers and it's our prayers that are going to unlock the doors. Amen. Today, while we were praying in the service, amen, I just felt like right there towards, amen, about three quarters of the way through what happened here tonight, I just felt, amen, the wind of the Holy Ghost as all of a sudden the door opened up and beckoned us to come up a little bit higher. Amen. Church, we're responding to that. We're not staying here. There's greater things that are in store for us. Amen. There's more that God wants. Amen. We've completed what God would have us here. Amen. There's something beyond the open door. And we're going to walk through it through the power and the Spirit of prayer. I want this to be a praying church. If it's a praying church, it'll be a worshiping church. If it's a praying church, amen, it'll be a godly church. But we cannot neglect the power of prayer. Amen. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and play good music, if they will humble themselves and run the aisles, if they will humble themselves and jump up and down, if they will humble themselves and scream and holler to the preacher. No, he said, if they will humble themselves and pray, then and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven? Amen. And he's going to come down and he's going to answer. We cannot neglect to pray. Pre-service prayer. Pre-service prayer. Amen. I'm preaching in defense of pre-service prayer. I've been a part of churches where there's no pre-service prayer. I've preached revivals at churches where there was no pre-service prayer. Amen. And almost 100% straight across, it was a struggle
to get through anything. Amen. But when you interject pre-service prayer, something happens. And there will be times that we'll come and we'll pray, and it may feel like the heavens are brass, and 30 minutes will be up. But don't ever let that, let's put it this way. If that were to happen, when that happens, amen, we're not going to look back and say, well, it doesn't work. We're not going to look back and say, well, it's not going to be the part that we did not pray. Is there something we're battling? Something that we're coming up against? Amen. Gavin, Garrett, you don't know how good it does me to see you come in on a Wednesday night. And I know that you just got off of work and you run home and you get changed and get cleaned up and you come back and you get in here as quick as you can. Amen. Trying to make it to some type and some form of prayer. Amen. We need that. We need that. Every one of us need that. It's more than just showing up 30 minutes early. There's something that's got to happen. It's the union of the spiritual world. We're walking in a carnal world. We're walking in this way. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. But we must consider what prayer does. Prayer is how one becomes led by the Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Prayer is how that we make our requests known unto God. Be careful for nothing, Philippians 4:6, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Prayer is how we are going to see the lost saved. Who hath heard such a thing? Isaiah 66:8. Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be bring forth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Amen. This is what prayer, amen, does. We cannot neglect prayer. I just feel in the Holy Ghost that when we get a halt of this, and when we make this important, amen, God's going to see it. It's not going to surprise me when we start seeing different people just come in. We're not going to neglect outreach. We're not going to neglect taking and talking to people and inviting people to church. But when God's people pray, all of hell begins to tremble. When God's people pray, all of heaven stands at attention. When God's people begin to pray, angels are commissioned to go down and to take care of things. Just say, that's not so. Tell Daniel, that's not so. When Daniel began to pray, God looked at the angel and he said, go down there and give him the answer. But it wasn't until he began to pray. Prayer motivates heaven, and prayer causes hell to shake. Praise God. Let's stand. Jesus said, when thou prayest, the disciples said unto the Lord, Lord, teach us to pray. And he said, when thou prayest. And we could spend some time talking about the Lord's Prayer, but this is what I want to point out. He said, and thy Father which seeth thee in secret shall reward thee openly. What does that tell me? That tells me that he sees and that he hears and that he rewards. He cannot see what is not there, and he will not reward what is not there. But when this church gets a revelation and an understanding of what prayer will do, not just what prayer can do, but what prayer will do. We'll never go back. Prayer will open doors that nobody could open.
Yes, hallelujah.
Prayer will go down into the gutters of society and reach the one that nobody could have reached. And my friend, that's what we are here for. We're not here just so that we are saved. He said, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. If God was just interested in saving us, then after baptism and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, some tragedy would happen and we'd be off and in eternity forever to be with the Lord. But when I look in my Bible, I see Jesus coming to seek and to save that which was lost. But he didn't stop there. He went and he saw Peter and he said, Peter, James, John, come follow me. Bartholomew, Matthew, and all of the others, come follow after me. And they did. They followed after him. There was a time when he looked at them and he said, will you go also? After many had left him, they said, to where will we go? For thou alone have the keys to life. And then when he was taken from their sight, received up into the cloud, the Bible teaches us that they went to Jerusalem into an upper room and they began to have pre-service prayer. That's not what they called it, but they began to pray. As our text says, they prayed in prayer and supplication. Prayer was a type of worship. By implication, an oratory, to pray earnestly, to pray as into worship. Supplication is a devout petition, spiritual communion with God. They prayed, and they prayed. History would teach us that they probably prayed for 7 days. And the Holy Ghost came into that place and filled all that was in the house. Peter came out of that pre-service prayer meeting and went and preached. He preached for about 7 minutes, if that. 3,000 got the Holy Ghost. Today, we have a hard time praying for 7 minutes. We can call 7 days a revival and nobody gets the Holy Ghost and we wonder why. It's because we cannot forsake prayer. We must pray. I know that there are many across our fellowship. There are many across this nation, pastors that don't pray in pre-service prayer. But I believe that it is so important and so vital that I will do my very best to be in every pre-service prayer. I feel it's that important. I know that there are those that would say, I don't go into pre-service prayer because the saints would bother me too much. In my opinion, that's their fault. I think we understand. In pre-service prayer, it's not time to come bother me. I need to pray. We need to pray. Let's talk after church. Let's sit down and communicate after church. But in pre-service prayer, let's make sure we're praying and seeking God. I've heard some say, oh, we don't have prayer meeting because it doesn't work. You've come too late to tell me that. It doesn't work because you don't want it to work. It works because you make it work. It doesn't just happen. You've got to work at it and continually to work at it. All I would have to do is just stop promoting prayer meeting. That's all I would have to do. And if I stopped promoting and pushing prayer meeting, it would die, dwindle, dry up, and go away. I know that. And the devil knows that. And so I'm going to continue to push for prayer meeting. It's that important. We cannot substitute anything that we do in the place of prayer. And God showed us that tonight. God showed us that tonight. And that His presence was so real in this place. Is it always going to be like that? No, it'll be a struggle. But when you feel the struggle, when you feel the struggle, accept the challenge. Because that's the devil saying, you're not getting this service.
Hallelujah.
And there will be times that we'll feel like it's smooth sailing, but there will be times and the devil knows he can't catch us. He'll get up ahead of us and create a roadblock and be waiting when we hit it. And that's when the church has got to buckle down and pray. We must pray. We must pray. How did Noah know how to build an ark? It's because he had a relationship with God. It wasn't that God all of a sudden one day just said, I'm going to choose Noah. No. There was a relationship that was there. We cannot forsake it. We must pray. God has been so good to us in this service. God has touched us. He's caused us to feel His presence and His Spirit. His anointing and His favor has been upon this place. And I pray that we would get a revelation of that. I don't want us to go and say, man, we had good church, and just associate it to the stars being aligned right. No, we had good church because we came in and we began to pray. And I believe that God pushed back hell a little ways and said, I've got something I want to teach the church tonight. And God sanctioned and put His favor upon it. And He's blessed us. And so we've had a mighty move of the Spirit. We've had a mighty move of the Holy Ghost here tonight. It's all because we've prayed. Amen. We must continue to pray. Amen. I can only imagine the churches that are out there in the non-denominational world that would walk into our pre-service prayer and think to themselves, what is this? This is crazy. But they'll never feel that in their church. They'll never experience that in their church. And the only reason that they'll go looking for something else in somebody else's church rather than theirs is because they haven't found what their soul is looking for. Because when you found what your soul is looking for, you won't go to another. Amen. Praise God. Why don't we just lift our hands and love the Lord here tonight? Let's just thank Him for what we have felt in this place tonight. Let's thank Him for His kindness and His goodness. Let's thank Him for His Spirit, for His touch, for His anointing upon this place. Let's thank Him for His word and for His truth, for sanctioning, blessing, appointing, and anointing His word today.